Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the NCAA Rugby Podcast. Myself and Chris have brought the podcast out of hibernation after some weeks away doing Rugby World Cup coverage. Chris, it's great to be back doing an NCAA podcast.
It's been far too long, Joe. I think the week before the season started at Preston Grasshopper, so we were like, right, we need to plan a next one after the World Cup. And it's been 9 weeks of no speaking about National League Rugby in the podcast, Joe. And it's great to be back, and it's a great sort of initiative that we're doing this season, getting the NCAA pod on the road, because great at Preston, but we know that's 25 minutes down the road for us. But to be where we are tonight, Joe, is a real privilege. So, yeah, great to be on the road, great to be back in a warm room with you talking about the National League. Nothing better than that on an autumn evening.
Yeah, and where we are tonight, there we go. We might as well lead straight into that. We're at Bishop Stortford Rugby Club. We're in the, I believe it's called the Stokes Room, in honour of one of their former vice presidents. It's an echoey room, so if there is an echo, I should probably apologise for that right now. But it does have some great artwork of Bishop Stortford.
Lovely place, Joe, isn't it?
Very nice.
Very nice place.
It made me feel like I should have been arrested walking through it.
Yeah. Very, a lot of Wilms though about it, so I felt quite at home.
Yeah, see,
nice little high street, nice shops and restaurants.
I don't disclose where I'm from, and it's definitely not as nice. everyone thinks I'm like from Harrow.
I'm not judging you.
And I don't blame them. The NCAA is the National Clubs Association, the collection of 48 teams in Divisions 3 and 4 of English rugby. The way I describe it now is, and I've now made this the official branding of the NCAA, it's two divisions, three leagues.
Two Division 3 leagues, yeah. That's
Sorry. My own branding's gone out the window, Chris. And the NCAA Rugby Podcast is essentially our way of bringing people the latest news, or just kind of, actually not even the latest news, the voices from around the NCAA.
You can't be bothered reading all my rubbish on the website. This is a way to listen to it. So, yeah, like you say, Joe, great to be back at Bishop Stoke tonight. Lovely club as well. As soon as you walk up to the club, you can get a real sort of local community feel. And yeah, we've been welcomed really nicely by Andy and the club. So, yeah, great to be here.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We are talking to Andy Long in not so long a while. We'll also be talking to Sam Winter, the captain, who I believe has been in the club a long time.
Through the sort of the journey into this level, so it'll be great to get his thoughts on the journey they've been on.
Yeah, and then we're actually going to kind of get to the reason we're here for, first and foremost, which is, of course, the Movember campaign that is vastly approaching. I mean, what's the date today? The date of recording is Tuesday the 22nd, which means in roughly, I think, 9 days, it's going to start. Movember is going to start, and people are going to start having horrific things on their faces that aren't...
For a great cause, though, Joe.
Yeah. So, essentially, the campaign slogan, I believe, this year is Every Mo Will Save a Bro, because Movember is, of course, helping fund kind of mental health support, men's health support, which is, of course, is things like testicular cancer, prostate cancer, all that kind of thing. Things that need to be talked about by men, probably more commonly so than they actually are. Can't say I've ever had that kind of a conversation with anyone, to be honest. And yeah, it's a great cause, and we were delighted to be approached by Dan Elsom, who works for Movember as the press officer here in the UK. To talk about this and why the NCAA have got involved and why Movember wanted to get involved with the NCAA. We've also been given access to one of Dan's work colleagues, which is George Cullen.
George plays here at Bishop Stortford.
His teammate, sorry.
Teammate, yeah. But your colleague as well, Joe. You make a good point, Joe, there, though, that, you know, it is an issue. Men's health is an issue which is growing, not just in sport, but overall. But rugby is a platform where the guys at Movember, Dan Elsom, Ozzy Croft as well, who's been in touch with us, those guys want to use this sport as a platform to raise awareness. And Dan lives and breathes it every weekend for Bishop Stortford. And as soon as he got involved, we thought, well, the only club really we want to speak to before Movember kicks off and come down to is Bishop Stortford. So, like you say, Joe, we're delighted to be in partnership with them, and we'll obviously be talking to Dan shortly about it in different ways you can get involved. But if the NCAA clubs or players, team, staff, whatever it is, want to get involved, we'll be giving the details later out. But there is an article on the website already, the press release. If you go to the NCAA website on the business partners at the top, there is a tab for Movember. Click on that. The article's there. Tells you different ways you can get involved and how you can get involved with the NCAA network on the Movember.com website. But more to come on that later.
Yeah, so I don't see any reason we can't kick off with our chat with Dan Elson. Chris took the lead on that one because I was signing up to the cause to donate. I think I'm growing a mo, although I've been told now that's not necessary.
No, as long
so
as
I don't want to bring too much shame to my mother. Yeah.
As long as you do your bit. I know me and obviously the best pundit on here, Max Ashcroft, has been talking about whether you can grow a moustache or not.
See, I didn't know about this, and I'm now very upset.
And Matt Skoffich has also had his say. So, no, it's, yeah, Dan goes on to say and talks about why, you know, you can just do your bit, you don't have to grow a moustache. Mm. I won't be growing a moustache because I look horrendous with one, but I will.
You've
be
got a bit of a beard going on at the minute, though.
I know. But I will be donating money, and obviously Max Ashcroft said he's going to be doing his part as well, so all of us at the NCAA get involved, and we hope the clubs can do the same.
Yes, so straight into our chat with Dan Elson, and then we'll be bringing you the latest from around National One for the, basically since we last did the podcast.
So next on the NCAA Rugby podcast, I'm joined by Dan Elson. Dan, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Obviously, we're going to talk about Stortford this season with you, but there is the main reason why we're here tonight is to talk to you about the NCAA's partnership with Movember. We're absolutely delighted to be joining up with Movember for the next couple of months. And first of all, Dan, I think yourself and your colleague Ozzy reached out to us. I mean, why did you think the National Leagues was sort of a good platform for you guys to promote what is a fantastic course?
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, playing in the leagues myself, it's quite a good community, and a lot of the clubs have a very strong community supporter base. So, you know, Movember is something that resonates quite well with rugby anyway, and it sort of resonates quite high up the leagues with rugby players. So, yeah, it was sort of a natural thing for us to move into with the connections that I have here in Stortford and working at Movember as well. We thought it'd be a perfect opportunity to reach out to all those different clubs and different communities there.
Yeah, you quite rightly say that rugby's a brilliant platform for you to promote Movember, and we've seen very recently, and especially in rugby, that men's health issues are getting talked about more and more. So we saw you know, your adverts during the World Cup. Yep. So was it important for you, as you said there, Dan, that you are playing at this level for National League clubs to get involved as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, men's mental health is something that is being talked about more, and especially around with sport, it's something that's, you know, the issue's always been there, but it's becoming an issue that's more talked about. And so, you know, we don't want to just talk about that issue with professional athletes. You know, we want to talk about mental health and men's health in general with men from all different walks of life. And, you know, when it comes to rugby, those guys in sort of the national leagues maybe don't get as much of a voice to talk about those things, or don't get the exposure to, you know, things like the RPA that the Premiership and Championship players get. So, yeah, I guess it's the National Leagues is such a broad scope of players and clubs and people from all over the country. So we wanted to sort of reach out to those guys and speak with people from maybe a couple of steps down in the world of rugby that aren't doing it as their job, doing it full-time, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and you quite rightly mentioned there, Dan, that it's not just rugby. You want to be helping people who may not have anything to do with the sport. That's also the aim as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, mate. And, you know, we, as I said, we aim to help men from all walks of life, you know, regardless of whether they're interested in rugby or not. So Movember itself, we sort of look after, we focus on men's mental health, suicide prevention, testicular cancer and prostate cancer as our main causes, but we generally are concerned about men's health in general. I think the state of men's health is declining, unfortunately. You know, particularly men's mental health is getting worse. We look at suicide rates, 3 out of 4 suicides of men. In the UK, It's the biggest killer of men under 45. There's something like 12 men a day take their own life. So it's a serious issue. And you know, as you saw in the video that we put out for World Suicide Prevention Day, guys in the world of rugby can really sort of cling on to that, and it's quite those figures are quite sort of impacting. So yeah, using rugby as a platform to sort of get people talking about that and use that natural community that's there to spread that message around, it just seems like the perfect fit, really.
Yeah, and how long have you been involved with Movember then, Dan?
I've only been there a couple of months, actually. I did. I used to be a journalist back in the day. I turned over to from the dark side and moved into PR.
Sure, that was a dark side.
Yeah, so I've been there about 4 or 5 months now. I did a little bit of work when I was writing. I did a bit of work with Movember, doing a few news stories and that sort of thing last campaign. But yeah, I've been on since about July.
And I was going to say, because I saw one of the articles I think you wrote for the local newspaper that was published about your teammate, obviously George Cullen, he's over in Japan at the moment. We spoke to Andy before and he said he's absolutely mad and crazy to have cycled all the way from London to Japan, and obviously he's doing that in aid in November, but that must be such an inspiration to see George, who is playing at national league level, to have raised, I think it's over £32,000 I think he's raised with his friend.
Yeah, mate, it's incredible what he did, and obviously Ben Cook as well, who used to play down at Stortford. And I mean, if you know the background of the guys, Cookie's a former Royal Marine, so we thought, you know, he'd be fine going out there, you know. You can stick him in the bush and he'd be all right. I did have my concerns about George. I think we told Cookie before he left to make sure that George came back alive. But no, those boys, have, you know, it's amazing what they've done. And it really is. It's inspirational to see how much money they've raised and how much sort of awareness they've sparked for Movember. It's incredible when you look at how far they actually rode and where they went through some of the things that they did were quite unbelievable. But yeah, definitely for someone like George, who really is a player that could play, you know, above national league, and he's played in the championship and is a really talented rugby player, but you know, for him to sort of want to do something to help people and want to go out and do something that's just extraordinary as that, yes, it's inspirational really.
Because Andy said Ben's now walking the length of Africa.
Yeah,
could you see George doing that?
No, I think George has got a little bit more sense, but but yeah, no, Ben's a unique bloke, and he's one of those guys that if you tell him he can't do something, he'll do it twice. So yeah, no, that'll be interesting to see how that turns out.
And in terms of the NCAA and Movember, obviously, like I said at the top, we're absolutely delighted to be partner up with you guys. What would you sort of like to see from the National League clubs? Because we've set up our NCAA network, which Aussie's helped out with, but what would you like to see the National clubs, how can they get involved in this sort of thing?
Yeah, well, as I said, you can go to Movember.com and sign up. It'd be great if we could get as many of the National League clubs creating their own team page there. Players or any supporters, fans, anyone that wants to really can set up their own MoSpace at Movember.com and set up their own page and then just join their local club and start fundraising that way. It'd be great if we could see, you know, every club from National 1, National 2, North and South in there and get people fundraising throughout those teams, yeah.
And in terms of some of the fundraising events, I mean, we mentioned in the article that's on the NCAA website now, if you have a look at it, there's a tab at the top which is dedicated to Movember, so you can see some of the ideas which you guys have said, but it's as simple as, you know, a raffle or donating club tickets or stuff like that. I know you guys are planning a potential shave down, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there's anything, you know, you don't necessarily have to grow a moustache to raise money. You can host an event, as you said. Anything like a raffle, raffling off old jerseys or tickets for games. You know, there's a whole host of different pub nights and quizzes and stuff that you could do. We've got Mr. Barbers in Bishop Stortford are going to organise a shave down for us, so they'll get all the boys clean shaven for the start of the month. It's also just a good way to get around, get everyone involved and get people sort of talking about Movember and talking about why they're actually doing what they're doing. It's you know, pretty much anything you can think of that's going to bring people together, any sort of hosting event is a great opportunity to sort of raise money for it.
Yeah, and just a reminder for people who haven't seen it on the website that I'm not sure what round it is absolutely. I think it might be like round 11, but the November the 16th is going to be the Movember weekend. Bishop Stortford are at home to Rotherham that day, but it's important, I think, for us to have that weekend bang in the month to keep people sort of interested, but also keep donating to what is a very good cause.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, midway through November, hopefully we'll be seeing some relatively good-looking moustaches bouncing around. Yeah, but yeah, no. I mean, it's a great opportunity for all the clubs across the leagues to sort of unite in that way and you know, make it something a little bit more than just rugby. You know, it's about men's health and it's about getting men talking about their health. And if we can, you know, get people around at the games talking about Movember, maybe donating some money on the gate, that sort of thing. You know, it all promotes the message and it really helps us sort of change the way we talk about men's health and ultimately change the face of men's health. So it's if we could get that on the 16th, it'd be a fantastic achievement.
And it's not just obviously the National League clubs and players who are going to be growing moustaches. I know our boss Max Ashcroft will be giving it a 10, but Joe Harvey is with us and I think he's going to decide right now live on air which type of moustache he's going to grow. Joe, have you?
I will go to find out on the website.
It's still this will have to be something that we do separate away from the interview. But like I said, at the end of this, we'll be getting all the socials and plugging it in the podcast in terms of what, how you can get involved through the NCA. But Dan, is there any sort of social media that and people can go to find out more about Movember if they're not sure what everything's involved with?
Yeah, so all Movember's Instagram is just at Movember, nice and simple. And then on Facebook and Twitter, we're at Movember UK, so you can catch us there. And you know, everything that we'll do will be shared on social media as well. But if anyone wants to look at anything a bit more about what we do, just go to Movember.com and it's all in there, and our stories, and you can find out more there.
Great stuff. And just a couple more from you, Dan, onto the rugby this season. We spoke to Andy before, and it's been quite an interesting season for you guys. A lot of sort of close games, but you've been unfortunately on the wrong end of those results. But on the weekend, you showed immense characters to come back against Hull Ionians. I mean, was that such a pleasing aspect because you've been so close in some of the previous games this season?
Yeah, I think it was really pleasing to see us sort of finish off a game like that. As you say, it's been some pretty disappointing results. I think we've sort of struggled to close out games in the last 20 minutes. So yeah, it was really pleasing down in Hull when we were sort of down for quite a bit of the game and probably didn't play some very good rugby for the first half. But once we got back into our groove, it was really pleasing to see how sort of determined the boys were to actually get a win.
Yeah, and you've been sort of on this journey with Stortford for quite a number of years now. So how pleasing is it for, because Andy quite rightly mentioned before, it's such a community club, you know, you don't sort of shout about where you want to go. You're very, you know, discreet about the values at this club. So how pleasing is it for you to have seen the side sustain themselves in National One over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I've been here since the last year they're in Nat 2, and I was lucky enough to be involved in the promotion team then. And yeah, as you said, Stortford's a very unique club. It's a community club that happens to be playing at a semi-professional level, and that doesn't happen very often, you know, in leagues anywhere around the world. So yeah, it is really pleasing to see. And I think, you know, when we were last year towards Christmas time, we were down the bottom of the league and everyone had written us off. That community is probably what was really driving the boys on. You know, there's a lot of people that put a lot of time into the club and you know, it's a really big part of their life. And so for the players as well, it really means a lot for everyone to play for Stortford. And you know, no one wants to go out and let anyone down in any club. But I think, you know, it really means a lot to the boys in Stortford. And that's why we sort of managed to get ourselves out of those situations. And it's the same this year, you know, at any time when we've been down or when we've been sort of thinking like things are going back the way they did before, you know, it's that community that keeps people driving on and keeps the boys sort of pushing into that next gear.
Yeah, and just finally for me, Dan, you've got Rams at the weekend. I know a team that you played 2 years ago when you did get that promotion you mentioned. So what do you sort of expect from them? Because they have had a really strong start to this season.
Yeah, I mean, they've been done really well, I think. Sometimes see that when teams come up from the league below, the clubs don't necessarily know what to expect. I think, yeah, Rams, I seem to remember when we played them last time, they're quite a similar team to us. They weren't a huge forward pack. I think they've developed their forwards a little bit more and they've developed their maul quite a bit. But yeah, you know, they've got some good dynamic backs. They like to throw the ball around a fair bit. But yeah, they'll offer something that we probably haven't seen in a couple of years, so it'll be an exciting game. But I think we should be, you know, pretty well placed to give them a good run.
Absolutely. Well, Dan, thanks very much for your time and all the best, obviously, with the Movember stuff. We'll be pushing it all out on our social medias and on the website as well. So please do get involved. It's for a great cause and it'd be great to get the rugby community involved as well. So, Dan, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Thank you very much to Dan for his time this evening. We're just going to go straight back into the rugby, really talking about National One and how we feel that's gone this season. My first note is Rams, are they the surprise so far this season?
Yeah, I mean, Dan touched on it there, didn't he, that we're going to be seeing Rams play Stortford this weekend. And when we did an interview with Ben Henderson, who's obviously been so influential for them over the last couple of years, Joe, he was saying that everyone in the club has been surprised by the start they've had. I mean, 5 wins from the first seven, they're currently third in the table. Just looking at the table in front of me now, they're 4 points clear of Richmond, 4 points behind Richmond, sorry. Mm-hmm. And I think if you'd said to Seb Reynolds, who's the head coach there, that Rams would be in this position going into the final weekend of October, they would have probably laughed at you and snapped your hands off at the same time. They have been, quite rightly, Joe, the surprise packages of this season, and they've been absolutely fine. I think they'll be disappointed with the defeat at Blackheath, but going to Blackheath never easy for any team. But what a season they're having so far, and they're right in the early mix with some of those top of the table teams.
Yes, because it's quite interesting, isn't it? And I asked a fairly similar question to Andy Long kind of at the end of his interview in a couple of minutes, which is essentially Rams are now experiencing exactly what Bishop Stortford experienced when they first came up to the league, when they finished sixth overall after in their first season in this league. How sustainable do you feel it is for Rams?
That was a great question you put to Andy, because it's exactly the same. Chinna did it as well. For Rams, it's a bit different. I think that the money side of it is something that a couple of the clubs who have sort of been able to build on their solid starts. I mean, all Althemians we know are doing exceptionally well at the moment in the division. They've got some great local players, but they've recruited very, very well as well with the resources they've got at the disposal. The same with Chinna, you know, they've got great resources at the disposal, but they've signed the right players at the right time. With Rams, they're very much a community-led club. You know, the players are sort of from around that Berkshire area.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the star men, Henry Bird, was signed from Old Redcliffians, which is Bristol, but they're looking at players from National 2 South. They're not looking at some of maybe the players that, you know, the likes of Chinna, they've gone for Championship players. And I know Darlington Moaning Park, they've looked at a couple of Championship players, that sort of thing. They're looking at maybe more local-based and players who have played at the lower levels first. So I think that's probably the thing that Rams RFC will hang the hat on is sort of the community-based feel of the club, and it will be interesting to see if they can keep that going. Bishop Stortford is that prime example, Joe, where they have that community base and they've been in this league now for 2 years. This is their third season, and Rams will be hoping they can follow suit, but everything Rams do at the moment, they're going in one direction and that's up, so they've got to be keeping to that philosophy, I feel.
Yeah, so we'll move on to our hosts for this evening now. They've had a pretty... It's been a series of close calls for Bishop Stortford so far this season. They started the season with a wonderful 42-40 win against Plymouth at Plymouth at Brickfields. Not an easy place to go, as I understand. And then their second game, they lost at home to Cambridge, 36-27. After that, it was a 32-34 loss at Birmingham Moseley, and then a 30-31. There's a theme here. There's a 30-31 loss at home to Darlington Moaning Park. Nothing wrong with that, of course. And then following that, there was a 29-32 loss at Chinna, and then a 17-18 loss at home to Richmond. Now, there's no shame in losing to any of the teams that we've mentioned, but to lose by such fine margins on virtually each occasion, apart from maybe the Cambridge one, you can understand why Andy Long might be happy with a 39-32 win at Hull Ionians last weekend.
Yeah, they would have been really pleased with that. I think they were 26-8 down at one stage, Joe. So to show that character to come back, probably the most pleasing thing for Andy and the club, because they were staring down the barrel of a sixth straight defeat. And this time last year, they were in a similar position where they were struggling early doors but managed to turn it around. And they want to kick that habit of losing away from themselves as quickly as possible, because we know if once you get in a rut, it's very tough for them to get out. But you're right, you quite rightly mentioned, Joe, these teams are playing, you know, Darlington, strong team, Richmond, top of the table, Cinderford going really well. They beat Richmond on the weekend. These teams, these results have been obviously really tough for them to take, but they've massive positives you have to take out of them as well. They're running these big teams very, very close. So for them to get that win against Hull Ionians is massive for them. They've been probably great entertainment and value for money. I think if anyone's looking for a National League team to follow and go to watch a game, Bishop Stortford's probably up there this season in terms of how close they've been in terms of the results. But they've got that win, and I think it's brilliant for them to have maybe even got the win in the fashion they did, Joe, because if they got a straightforward win, great, pleasing, but to have come from behind and got the character and showed that belief that they're still fighting, they're not letting the heads drop, is really good for them. And they're at home this weekend, they haven't won at home this season, they'll be open to put that right on Saturday.
Well, of course, but the thing is, all these close losses do result in one pretty nice thing, which is losing bonus points, which obviously you don't want to get them, but sometimes that's the only consolation you can take from it, as well as I think there might be a couple of try scoring bonus points in there by looking at some of the scores. So that does leave them with 12 points, 12th in the National 1 table. So it does feel like things are pretty good so far for Bishop Stortford.
I think, considering that some of the teams we've mentioned there, you know, they played Chinna, they played Darlington Moaning Park, they played Cinderford, they played Richmond, those sides are in the top half and they're going to be looking to pushing towards the right end of the table. So they've had some tough fixtures. I mean, for them to pick up the points they've had, they'll be pleased with. But I think what they want to do is now kick on. They won't want to slip back into their feet and then going into the winter months of looking to try and get themselves a morale boosting win, because, you know, because this block of games is such a large one. They're not going to have a break between now and, I can't remember, 21st of December, which is the last game before Christmas. It's a long, long stint, so they won't want to slip back into getting a defeat. But you mentioned there, Joe, obviously they're now, I think I'm right in saying, 3 points clear of the bottom three going into this weekend. They'll be able to move away from that early season danger, if you like, as soon as possible.
Yeah, of course, because all the teams that they lost to have had pretty serious investment into their squads over the summer. So there's really no shame there, especially we will have a talk with Andy and he talks about kind of the money difference that some of these teams have in the league. I think Chinner, obviously Richmond is not too dissimilar a squad that they were playing last season in the Championship.
Exactly.
And then Darlington Modon Park, as ever, had a pretty large influx of players, which is, of course, massively impressive. And more impressive so that they've actually managed to get them stringing results together, especially after last season where I think Darlington were very, very poor at the start of last season.
Incredibly inconsistent, Joe. So yeah, that's the thing. And you know, we've seen some stuff on Twitter that people will go, well, this club have got a lot of money, how the hell can they sign him, blah blah blah, but they're using the resources to their advantage. For me personally, as someone who follows the league, I think that if you've got that at your disposal, use it, and if use it in the right way. And I think those clubs you've reeled off, they're using it in the right way. You know, they're not paying fortunes and fortune on player wages and it not really working. Yeah. These clubs with the money, they've got a plan and they're using it. You know, you look at sort of Coventry, who were in the league a couple of years ago, they had the money, but they used it in the right way. Roland Winter used it in the right way. They've got the players, they've got the infrastructure right, they've got the vision right, and now they've been in the Championship for the last couple of years. And if the clubs do that right, no problem with it at all. But yeah, for Bishop Stortford, that community club we go back to, and they're more than happy to be competing in what is probably one of the most competitive leagues in English rugby.
Yeah, of course. I'm just trying to look at my other notes and see what I've got written down here. Cinderford have been fairly good this season, beating Richmond side at the weekend, actually. Two final tries in the last
sort of five minutes, I'd say. Remarkable. Cinderford have got a knack of doing this season. I think it's the fourth time, Joe, they've done that, where they've been losing with minutes to go and have come back and won the game. Yeah. I think this was probably the best sort of reaction, and sort of the way they won it was probably the best way, because to be seven points down with 5 minutes to go, Richmond thought they'd won the game.
Yeah.
But then two tries of fairly similar fashion from, I think, Nathan Taylor won them the game.
Wow.
So it's a habit which they'll probably just want to maybe a straightforward victory this weekend.
Hopefully.
Coming up, hopefully. But they've managed to pick up some crucial wins. And now with the way the results went on the weekend, Joe, with the top five or four last weekend all losing, sending for the right back in the hunt now after a couple of disappointing home results.
Yeah, and now one of the teams I've written down that has been a bit of a surprise for me to see not performing as well is Rotherham Titans. Of course, their second season after relegation from the Championship. Joe Barker left in the summer. He's in Hong Kong now, coaching with Scott Sneddon at Kowloon RFC. There we go. Just know things like that.
Perfect. That reeled off.
Reeled off, mate. And it's a shame to see them struggling, because for so long they were such a dominant force in English rugby.
Yeah, I think last year we spoke to Joe and he was very much talking about it as a transition year for Rotherham. A new coach, a lot of new players came into the team. I mean, I think they finished sixth in the end, which I think they would have probably been happy with considering how many changes they went. Martin Jenkinson's now at the helm at the club, and again, it's probably a little bit more change for Richmond. So it's about these players taking time to gel and sort of click. But it was a big, big win for them on the weekend, Joe. They beat Chinner away from home, and that's not easy for them to do. It's their first away win, and I think they might have been a bit cautious going there because we know how strong Chinner are at home. And Rotherham have been pretty poor away from home this season. So for them to have put up the fight they did, they were, by all accounts, incredibly impressive in defence.
Yep.
You know, Chinner were brilliant in the first half, but Rotherham stuck in there and they were brilliant in defence. So to grind out a result the way they did, they'll be massively, massively pleased with that, because they began the day in the bottom three. They're now, I think, out of the bottom three by a point.
Yeah.
Rotherham and the guys there will be hoping that's a springboard for them to kick on this season.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the bottom three right now. I actually would like to firstly apologise. I got Bishop Stortford's points total wrong. They're actually on 18 points, not 12, as I
previously. 6 points off of there, Joe.
you know. The bottom three currently, as it stands, is Sale FC with 15 points, and there's a somewhat of a drop-off to Canterbury on just the 3 points, and then Hull Ionians on two. But, of course, Hull, as we're aware, have been fairly gutted of players after losing a lot of them to Yorkshire Carnegie, because, of course, Peter Booth went on to Carnegie as director of rugby, and as a result, several players have followed him there.
Yeah, it's, they've been very difficult times for Hull Ionians, especially in National One over the last couple of years. They've managed to escape relegation, went down a couple of years ago, but bounced back superbly in National Two North last year. But then Martin Woods obviously gone over to Yorkshire Carnegie as well. And like you say, Joe, brought a lot of players with them there, and all the connections Hull Ionians have now with that club. And it was always going to be difficult for them, but before last weekend it was six defeats from six, 0 points taken, and it was looking pretty ominous for them in terms of the uphill task they've got. Like we said at the top, they played Bishop Stortford, they were winning, they were performing arguably the best 50 minutes of rugby they played this season. So for them to have lost that game would be so heartbreaking, but in the sort of weird way they'll take massive positives from that, that they can build a lead, and it's now about shutting that out. But they're on 2 points at the moment, already 14 points behind Rotherham. It's already a big ask for them to try and turn that round. And Canterbury as well, Joe, you know, they've first ever season at this level. Yeah. We've seen how well Rams are doing in their first season, but sometimes it doesn't work like that. And Canterbury, they've had some awful fixtures in terms of some of the tough opposition. I think the first four games they played the top four in the division, so they haven't had it easy. But they've got the right facilities down there, and they perhaps done a wonderful job to get them into this division. I know you were down there for the playoff game last season, Joe.
I was.
You saw how well run the club is, and they'll be hoping that first win is just around the corner. I think if Canterbury continued to play the way they did in the second half against Birmingham Moseley at the weekend, where they so nearly snatched the win, that will be a promising sign for them. And the same with Hull Ionians, if they can sort of replicate what they did against Bishop Stortford for that first 50 minutes, I think they'll do a good job.
Yeah, and we, as ever, are going to look at our key fixtures for this weekend. Bishop Stortford RFC versus Rams, is one of them. We've kind of talked about it ad nauseum already. Then Roslyn Park versus Birmingham Moseley. That's one that does get the blood kind of pumping, that one.
I think it's probably the game of the weekend, Joe, in National One. I think you pick that one, Joe, and it's one to be highlighted. I mean, based purely on the fact that last weekend Roslyn Park were beaten by Cambridge, I don't think many people saw that coming.
No, that is very true. So they do have to bounce back in that one.
Pardon?
They do have to bounce back.
Yeah, exactly, Joe. Yeah, you're absolutely spot on as well. For them to, I think a lot of people probably thought Roslyn Park would get the job done. So they've shown how well they can bounce back after their first defeat of the season. They lost to Blackheath, but then I think they've scored something like over 70 points in the last two games prior to the game on the weekend against Cambridge. So they'll be hoping to bounce back, but one of the teams that did profit from the fact that Roslyn Park slipped up, Richmond slipped up, Chinner slipped up, etc., etc., were Birmingham Moseley. They managed to get the win. They were excellent for the first half against Canterbury, sort of let it slip, and discipline crept into the game, came into the game, won 25-19, now back on the winning streak. They're hoping they've changed the whole squad round this year. Birmingham Moseley, Adam Balding's come into the side, a lot of new players. They're performing incredibly well at home. That's something you've got to mention. So it's a massive game for both teams, and I think the winner will be really, really pleased to come out on top in that one, because it just keeps them in the hunt for sort of that top spot, which is all important in National One.
Yeah, and then the final one that I've highlighted is Old Eltamians versus Chinner.
An old rivalry with New Joe. I mean, yeah. I feel these two clubs came up from National 2 South. Old Eltamians did it a year before Chinner, both coming up through the playoffs, but both sides had really impressive years last year. Chinner's first year, I think they finished eighth, I think it was, in the end, which is very strong for them. It was their first year,
but I don't think they finished eighth for some reason.
I'll have to double check that, but you know, they had a strong season. We know Old Eltamians have been in this league twice for 2 years now, and they just keep building and building. They were, you know, title contenders for the large majority of last season. I mean, both sides sort of maybe be slightly disappointed with the way they've started. I feel, you know, Old Eltamians had a chance to go four wins in a row on the weekend and lost, and by all accounts were outplayed by Darlington Mountain Park. And Chinner losing at home to Rotherham will be massively frustrating for them, that they couldn't break them down. So both teams have the reaction, and they know each other well from the National 2 South days and competing towards the top of that league. So expect a decent encounter there on Saturday.
Yeah, so that's kind of all from our chat from National 1 so far this segment. And we're going to top it off with our chat with Bishop Stortford Director of Rugby, Andy Long. I'm now joined by Andy Long on the NCAA Rugby Podcast. Andy, how are things?
Very good, thank you very much. Yeah, the sun's shining. It's a nice autumn day, so yeah, nothing to grumble about at the moment.
Yeah, of course. A win at the weekend, beating Hull Ionians 39 points to 32. Second win of the season, must be delighted with that result after some pretty close games in between.
Yeah, it's been a tough start, to be honest. We kicked off well against Plymouth, a 42-40 win, and if we're honest, a poor performance against Cambridge second time out. And after that, we're losing games by the odd point or two. And playing some good rugby, but looking fragile in other areas. So to pick up a win up at Hull was great, and really showed a lot of character, because we were under the pump at one point just after half time, and with a bit of a mountain to climb. And the boys, as I say, showed great character and great resolve to turn it around, and hopefully that can get our season on the track.
Yeah, was it important for the side to show that character, Andy? Because as you say, you've had so many close games this season, and it was five losses in a row going into the weekend. So is it great from that point of view that the lads just always aren't giving up, no matter if the results are going against them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we've shown that all season, and I think we showed that character last season as well. Round 16, we were bottom of the league last year and sort of 9 points off safety. And to come round and go into the last game of the season, potentially getting into seventh place, was a great turnaround. So I know the boys have that character. We've got a new group of players. We had six players, senior players, retire last year, and a number of lads under operations at the end of the season, so they missed the start of the season. So we're in a bit of a transition phase, if we're honest, and that's throughout the whole group. When you lose six guys that have brought you from National 3 to National 1, you lose quite a lot of collective intelligence there, and just knowing what the right things to do on the pitch at the right time and calm heads. And we're looking for that new group of leaders to come through. And these games, these tight losses, and this learning that we're doing at the moment, will prove vital and valuable as we move through the season. We needed that win, Hull were unlucky at times, but I felt that we showed, especially our bench. I was really impressed with our bench that came on and pushed us forward. So, we go into another group of big games. There's no let up. It's 30 world title fights, it seems, and 16 back to back until Christmas with the guys. It's important that the squad, it works hard to stay fit.
Yeah, and sort of the journey the club's been on, we spoke about off air, and we promoted into this league in 2017, if that's right. And you talk about every game being like a final because it's so competitive. So for you, do you take pride in the fact that you guys have been able to sustain yourselves at this level over the last 2 years, because this league is ultimately getting more and more competitive each year?
Absolutely. It is every year. We've come from National 3 to National 2 to National 1, and we've gone from a cask amateur club to a sustainable semi-professional club, and I think that's the thing we're most proud about, is that we're a community club. We have a community of sponsors, we have a community of supporters. Most of the people that come and watch the game have a direct link to a player, or it's youth and mini, and I think that creates a really good environment. So we're proud about that, and it is getting tougher and tougher. The sides that come into the league have got huge ambition, and some of them have got huge amounts of money, and we necessarily can't compete with some of those guys. So our point of difference is the fact that most of our lads have come through the youth and mini system. A lot of these lads have represented the club in the junior ages, and they've known each other for a long time. And when we go out to recruit, we're looking to recruit from the Hearts and Essex area, where other clubs maybe are able to recruit from the Championship or different areas. A lot of our recruitment comes from the local area, so we widen the net from just Stortford into the likes of Chelmsford and Braintree and Brentwood and down in those areas. And there's a lot of great rugby, there's a lot of great talent in this area. So that's exciting for me, is to actually be a real regional representative club, and then obviously into the Saracens as well. So we're very proud of the journey we've been on, but yeah, it certainly gets tougher every week, and you know, you only look at the results from the weekend. You know, people beating everyone, and no one's totally unbeaten now. So it's great. It keeps us on our toes.
So I mean, I think your first season at this level, the National One, you surprised a lot of people. I mean, you know, I cover the league week in, week out, and I was surprised to see the likes of you and Chinna finishing so high as you did. But was last season, do you think, a better achievement than the fact that everyone talks about second season syndrome, but you were able to finish in a decent position at the end of the year?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we had absolutely the first year. Kind of, we shocked a few people the way we played, and people didn't know much about us, and maybe, you know, didn't know who Bishop Stortford were or what we were or where we were from at all. And I think that was quite good. We like flew under the radar. And you know, last year people did know a little bit more about us, and the league got tougher, and we had an unprecedented amount of injuries early on the season to key players. You know, we lost three or four players right at the beginning of the season, which, you know, like any club, it just puts a blockers on what you can do. But yeah, I think the achievement to go, like I said, from, you know, straight at the bottom to pulling free by the end was a huge achievement and something we were very proud of. And it wasn't easy, you know, it certainly wasn't easy. And there were some hard days in that. And, you know, I think that, you know, we're extremely excited about being in this league. You know, we're extremely excited about what National One Rugby is about. And our fight sometimes is, you know, is week to week, you know. And I think like most sides are, you know, we don't get above ourselves, you know. We're not going to stand here and shout and scream that we want to be a championship club. We just want to go out there every week and do ourselves proud and with a group of local lads and see how far it takes us.
Yeah, and Joe mentioned at the start of the interview, Andy, that, you know, you've had some close games this season. You've certainly been value for money in terms of some of the results. I mean, you look at the light you've lost to Richmond, who were by a point who were top of the league. You're now facing Rams, who I know you know well from your time in National 2 South. They're flying at the moment. They're third in the league. So do you go into every game confident that you can get a result despite, you know, Richmond being top, Rams being third or anything like that?
100%. We've got a lot of faith in our ability, and we've got faith in our coaching team. We think we do things the right way here. I think, yeah, we go in there excited that, you know, on our day I feel we can beat anyone. I think that, you know, over the last few years we've had incredibly close games. And you know, last year before Christmas I think it was 7 games we lost within 4 points, and they're games where we're just losing right at the last minute, and that's been the same journey there, and it could have gone either way. And so that gives us a lot of confidence, but also realise we're pretty grounded in the fact that we know we've got to keep working hard, and, you know, the points table doesn't lie. That's where you are, and, you know, you can be the greatest side in the league, but if you're not picking up the results, then it doesn't matter. No one remembers that, do they? It does give us confidence. We feel we can go into any game winning. You know, we've done that. We've proven that over years that we can beat any side on the day. And I think Richmond, we were desperately unlucky not to win that game and not to take away anything from them as a group of players, you know, and coaches. They're outstanding, but I did feel on our day that we were probably the better team. But that doesn't always get you the win.
Yeah, and just finally from me, Andy, a bit of a nerdy stat from me here. The last time you played Rams, you beat them here at home, and you're obviously still looking for your first home win this season, so a bit of a repeat of success from 2 years ago would be nice this weekend.
Yeah, oh, it'd be lovely, wouldn't it? I think, yeah, let's not get above ourselves, you know. 100%, you know, Rams are a great side, you know. They're well organised, well structured. I think they're a side they should be really proud about how they've taken into this league, and they do things the right way, and I think they are pretty much recruiting from within as well, which is really fantastic, and promoting young players. I just fear the fact that I might have to meet Ashley Rowden on the sidelines, and that's something that no one needs to deal with.
But of course, because Rams are kind of having a similar experience to what you had, your first hit out in National One as well. So in a way, do you kind of know how to bring them back down to earth a bit this weekend?
I don't know about that. I think every game is different. You can go in there with a huge amount of expectation and knowing what to do, and suddenly something throws a spanner in your works. Now, we played against Chinna a few weeks ago, and huge best laid plans of what we're going to do. And in the first tackle, we lost our back rower to a facial injury. His replacement comes on and breaks his leg. And all of a sudden, you've got sort of 70 minutes left with a hooker playing number 8. And it's just, you know, you've got to work it out. And so, look, the Rams are a good side. Yeah, I think that we know enough about them. We've sort of, because of the fixtures, we've watched a lot of their footage. So, yeah, I think we know they've got some key players. You know, the hooker Henderson's a good player. They're 8. Stapley's a very good player. Henry Bird at fullback's been very, very elusive in his running. So they've got a really good game, and for me, watching them and analysing them, they know their game very well. They don't try to be anything they're not, and I think that's credit. I think they're obviously well coached, well organised, well structured, and they've got some great teamwork. So it's going to take an effort from us, but you know, I think we've shown, you know, in the games we've played this season so far, if we can put 80 minutes together and we can be consistent and, you know, sure, maybe cut out a few of the silly errors and patches of games when we're poor, I think we could be a match for any team.
Well, Andy, thank you very much for having us down here this evening, and all the best for the rest of the season.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Yeah.